Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is great to be with you guys today, man. I had this full show planned out, and we're going to go through with it, which I'm super excited about. The history of the number 11 pick overall, like, yeah, you guys know me. Nostalgia is my thing. And so I went back 40 years. once I start clicking, I can't stop. It just looked at all the number 11 overall picks, and it was a blast. And so that's going to be kind of the most that we're going to look for. Some good news, some bad news, some great news with that. But breaking news just right before we went live here this morning, the 49ers have added Gus Bradley to the 49ers staff, which, man, I wanted Gus Bradley to at least be interviewed for the DC job. I wanted a lot of DC interviews. Robert Saleh was, Gus Bradley was not my top four that I wanted, but I would have been okay with it. You know what I mean? But the fact that you added Gus Bradley just to your staff defensively, that's gigantic. I absolutely love the Gus Bradley hire. Now, should he be a DC? I would not have been excited about that, but just to have him on the staff, you're talking about a guy that has been a defensive coordinator for 12 years in the NFL, plus an additional 4 years as a head coach. Experience galore, galore. Like we talked about what it was like adding Brandon Staley, who had 1 year defensive coordinator experience and 3 years as a head coach. This guy has him in spades. And probably the biggest shift, going from Nick Sorensen, Brandon Staley, to Robert Saleh and Gus Bradley? Are you freaking kidding me? That's not comparable. Those are, one of these things is not like the other. Like, come on, man. Somebody, I forgot who it is. I want to give them credit, but I'm not going to be able to scroll through my Twitter right now. Said that's like going from JV to SEC starters. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting guys that are proven, that have done it repeatedly and at a high level with experience back in systems that they are used to. Where's the bad in this? You know what I mean? Where is it? He's not even going to be a DC. He's just going to be on the staff. And Robert Saleh and Gus Bradley have worked together not once. You know, at Seattle, they worked together for several years. And then at Jacksonville, they worked together for a few years before Robert Saleh joined the 49ers over in 2017 with Kyle Shanahan. And what's funny is Robert Saleh wasn't even the original choice for defensive coordinator. Kyle Shanahan wanted Gus Bradley to be his guy. That didn't pan out. Brought Saleh over instead. Inexperienced. Worked out great. Now you got both. Now you have both. The vibes of this offseason just continue to roll. The vibes of this offseason, goodness, I freaking love it. I love it. And so now what you have in place is, one, just the experience in and of itself. But, God forbid, Robert Saleh gets hired as a head coach next season. Now you've got, you can step Gus Bradley up into that role. I prefer it to be KJ Wright, but he's inexperienced. He's had 1 year on the staff. Eventually, KJ Wright's going to be a defensive coordinator. I've seen it firsthand. Like, the guy is good, but he needs time. So if Robert Saleh is our defensive coordinator for two or more years, then gets hired as a head coach again, we get those compensation picks. So I want 2 years minimum. I prefer Robert Saleh just stay, and he was just the DC for a decade. I would love that, but that's not really the way it works. Whenever you have a head coach that is an offensive guy, you usually lose the other side, unless you're Steve Spagnuolo, which, whatever, that's a whole nother thing. But that's probably going to happen. I want to say thank you to all the hashtag CC showing up. What's up, Monkey Boy? Appreciate you. And he says it right here. Gus Bradley news started this morning in a good direction. Wonder what this means for KJ Wright's future plans, though. He needs time. This is a positive for KJ Wright. KJ Wright would not be the defensive coordinator next year. You can't go at experience again. And look what Nick Sorensen did. He set you literally went from first to dead last whenever it mattered most. Like, you need guys that are seasoned, and KJ Wright will be a defensive coordinator at some point. He's just got too many pelts on the wall and the energy and the, you saw it at the Senior Bowl. The dude just belongs. How he does schematically and drawing things up and taking things away, that's going to take time to develop. So the only way that I think KJ Wright steps in as defensive coordinator is if Robert Saleh is here for 3 or more years, then leaves. I think that's it. 1 year, no. 2 year, no. That's not going to happen. That's not where it's at. Appreciate all the hashtag CCs. What's up, Josh? Back to work for the fun. Love you guys. You are the best. You are the best. Hop on the bus, Gus. There we go. Again, Bob Dylan reference. I ain't mad about that at all. Ever. All the CCs, man, you guys showing up strong today. I appreciate you guys. And it's funny, anytime I ever prepare a nostalgic look back at the past episode, I know from the start, from the jump, it's probably not going to do as well. People want the now. People want hot takes. People want conjecture. That's not what today's is. Today's is let's look back at all the other teams and all the other players that have picked 11th in the recent and far future and see where that is. That's what we're going to do. Right here, San Mateo says, what's the status of the Bullocks and D'Angelo Hall interview? Bullocks, I don't think, is going anywhere. D'Angelo Hall, I doubt that he joins this staff. NY Niners, if we build the depth of this roster as well, we're building the coaching depth. Super Bowl 60 on our home field, baby. This year, I'm telling you, just think about how crappy the last few offseasons have been. This year, look at this, 49 faithful. John, I usually have to watch replay, but I'm shoveling 5 feet of snow listening to this. Man, you are a hero. I wonder where you're at. Can I head my way with skis? I want some fresh. Tahoe last week was just miserable. It just rained the whole time. You're not supposed to be skiing in the rain. I'm ready for some fresh powder, but appreciate you, man. Sonia, I love all the defensive love. Hoping the offense gets love too. The offense was not okay. Sonia, you're incredible. First off, I appreciate this because I didn't even think about looking at this. Last year, the offense wasn't as good as it has been. Finished, 13th points, just, a little better than average. Fourth in total yards, great. But all intents and purposes, the offense last year was top 10. The defense, bottom five in almost every single metric except for yards and first downs. They were 29th out of 32 teams in points, 20th in turnovers. You go to whenever it matters, 24th on third downs, 25th on third downs, 31st in the red zone, gave up the most rushing touchdowns in 49ers defensive history. So I think the one thing I do love is Shanahan is sitting there saying, man, if our defense just gets average, we were in the playoffs last year, just average, not even, top five like it was with Wilkes. Obviously the injuries, obviously change of personnel, obviously. But Nick Sorensen was a giant contributing factor. Nick Sorensen sucked. And I know I was one of the ones that's been saying this all year and people got mad at me. Nick Sorensen was god awful. He was so bad. Now you're looking at the experience that you bring in with Saleh and with Gus. I'm so happy. Does the offense need love? And they got the first round pick last year. And the longer this goes on, the more and more, and we're going to be talking about this, the more I think that the defense is probably going to get that first round pick. Whether you like it or not. Dr. Steve Brule, Gus is right where he should be. Glad he's not calling plays, but he's certainly an asset as an assistant. That's huge. The experience. Gigantic. Invader, the pressure to keep adding talented coaches to your staff because the league pillages, they take them away from us. We have lost so many coaches, GMs, players. Man, Shanahan tried to trade for Fangio with the Bears too. That's right, he did. He tried to go after him. But then once you had Bosa, it was a little bit different. little bit different. And San Mateo, I'm with you. Let's get the Brock deal done. It's good vibes so far. Get Brock, get Greenlaw, get Kittle done. Those are the big three. Love to find a way to stack as many second and fourth round picks this year. Good depth in this class. Ah, yes, 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 yes. My man, Ben, D'Amico went from entry level to DC in 3 years. KJ Wright should be able to do it in four. I'm cool with that. He's got 1 year down. Let's get three more. Let's get three more. Jake B, if you're not first, you're last. I love it. Ricky Bobby. I ain't mad about that at all. I ain't mad about that at all. So appreciate you guys. Appreciate y'all. And so let's do this. Let's dive into kind of the history of the number 11 pick. Now, as I go through some of these names, here's your response, because this was my response. Man, that's not great. That sucks. We should trade back. We should trade up. We should trade out. We should trade. But hold on. So it's going to be a little rough early, but give me some time, because there's a lot of positives. There's a lot of positives. So here are the most recent number 11 overall picks in the NFL draft. Last year was Fashanu, Olamiyiwe Fashanu, awesome name, offensive lineman. Only had 7 starts last year, but played 500 plus snaps. The Steelers are so good at getting offensive linemen involved. You look at what they did in the second round. They took my guy, Frazier, the center, and he's, already a Pro Bowler, year one. We could have got him in the second round, but that's okay. That's okay. We had a great second round pick. I'm not, and Frazier was off the board in the second round pick. Again, I kept saying all year, trade back from your first, take Frazier, plug and play center, simple. But hey, I like Pearsall. I like Frazier. I like Renardo Green. A little Freudian slip right there. Fashanu was good. Only gave up 1 sack all year, 500 plus snaps, only 7 starts, but he played a lot of every single game. 4 quarterback hits. Now, is he, offensive tackle guard? He's kind of one of those flex guys. It was a scheme fit. It was a culture fit. They liked him. If you told me we could get that same player, I probably wouldn't be as happy now, knowing what I know. I'd want a little bit more. The year before is Peter Skoronski. Did you know last year, save more money was the most popular New Year's resolution in America? Clearly, a lot of us feel like our money is slipping through our fingers, but it's not your fault. The whole world is trying to spend your money. There's streaming apps, delivery fees, tips on self-checkout machines. The list goes on and on. Good thing there's Acorns. Acorns helps grow your money into more of your money. Imagine if you started saving a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. How you would feel if you started investing what you already have. Well, with Acorns, it makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, or your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich either. Acorns lets you invest with spare money you've got right now. You can start with $5 or even just your personal spare change. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. That's acorns.com/49ers. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Did you know Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida? And here's the thing, Prize Picks puts their members first, so all withdrawals are fast, safe, and secure. When my picks hit, I can get my money in or out as quick as 15 minutes. And now they offer MasterCard for quick and easy deposits into your account for this sports season. So head to prizepicks.com, use the link in the description of this podcast, or download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code 49ers. You'll get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Now, here's my favorite thing about this is it's just so simple. You pick two players, and let's say you're into basketball. Is Steph Curry going to score over 26 and a half points? Is Jimmy Butler going to score over 20 and a half points? Over, under, you get paid if you get it right. That's where it is. So Go to Prize Picks and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game. Now, Skoronski, again, another guard, another tackle, flex play. Niners love those guys. He started 31 games in 2 years, 1,900 plus snaps. He's played a lot. He's given up 9 sacks in 2 years. That's a lot. That is a considerable amount. But A-plus in the run game. Year before that, Chris Olave. Yeah, that's a good one. 28 starts. He's missed some time. He has had some injuries. 1,700 plus snaps. But back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. I mean, he's had as many 1,000-yard years as... Oh, I want to make sure I say this right before I say it. I don't want the Aiyuk people coming at me. They always get mad at me. I'm trying to find where Brandon Aiyuk is on here. Let's see here. Yeah, this is correct. So he has the same amount of 1,000-yard seasons, Brandon, as Aiyuk does. Olave, back-to-back years, 1,000 yards. Then he got injured this year, didn't hit it this year. But Ayuk's got 2,000-yard seasons out of 5. So the Olave, do I think we'll go wide receiver? I don't. But yeah, 10 total touchdowns. That's a little low. Aiyuk's got him there, 25 total touchdowns, but scored 0 touchdowns this year in 7 games. This year, no matter how you look at it, Brandon Aiyuk was a total failure. From the holdout, from the greed, from all that stuff, glad he got paid. But then the end, like, he finally started to play decent. But you're talking about a guy making $30 million a year, played 7 games, had 25 catches for 370 yards, no touchdowns. Catch rate was 50%. Remember all those drops? Yikes. We really got to have Aiyuk back. And I think that could take the offense back to that elite status if you could get him. But if you told me we're getting a player, Chris Olave status, that played the way that he has played through 3 years, at pick 11, you take that every time. He's a stud. He is a stud. Justin Fields, he was the number 11 pick. They traded up and got him. That was the Trey Lance, god-awful, whatever. But Justin Fields, definitely better than Trey Lance at this point. He's going to get paid by somebody. 44 starts, 14-30, starting record. That's not good. Quarterback, win stats. I actually am one of the few that thinks that winning play is a quarterback stat. That is, I might be alone in that. That's okay. Not here to debate that today. But even if you look at his touchdown to interception ratio, pretty solid for Justin Fields. 45 touchdown passes, 31 picks. And then you add the rushing, 19 rushing touchdowns. He's rushed for 2,500 yards as a quarterback. Justin Fields, is he worth the 11th pick? No. But will he be a career-long backup number two kind of flex quarterback play that you could pair with a young guy? Yes. Would I be happy with the Justin Fields at the 11th pick? I would not. Before Justin Fields, Mekhi Becton. Injuries. Now, most people would have said absolute bust whenever with his time with the Jets. But when you're with the Jets, you play on that cut. You drafted injury-riddled player on the worst playing surface in the NFL. What do you think was going to happen? Like, come on. That was stupid. It was stupid. Now, he goes to this year to the Eagles, and he's a borderline Pro Bowl guard. Now he's drafted as tackle. They hope he would be the left tackle of the future. Injuries. They move on from him. He goes to Philly. He started every single game this year playing Pro Bowl level guard, and now he's going to be playing the Super Bowl this week. A lot of it's fit. And, you know, the one thing that you got to say, I'm not a fan of Levi's location. I'm not a fan of the stadium. I go to a lot of games there. I should have stayed at Candlestick. Could have made it cool. Whatever. That's all right. But the one thing that you have to say Levi's has for it, it is the best playing surface and has been voted as such from the players in back-to-back years. It's the best playing surface in the NFL. That is awesome. So if you had those issues, you know, does Mekhi Becton play better for the 49ers than he does the Jets? I think so. It's a little bit better scheme offensively, has been. But does he play as well as he does for the Eagles? No, he does not. They have the best O-line coach in the NFL. I love Chris Forster. I'm not putting him up there in that conversation at all. Mike, appreciate you, Mike. Yeah, Candlestick was way better. Location better. Stadium better. It had its issues. But, yeah, Levi's, I'm sorry. I'll keep going, but it's what it is. Jonah Williams before that, 65 starts, over 4,000 plus snaps. He's now in the division. Trouble staying healthy. Wants to be left tackle only. I probably wouldn't be happy with that. Minkah Fitzpatrick before that. Yes, sir. You're talking about a Hall of Fame caliber player, best at his position for a decade. 106 starts, 7,000 plus snaps. He's been healthy. 5 Pro Bowls, 3 All Pros. Minkah Fitzpatrick. Yes, yes, yes. These are the caliber of players that you can get at 11. Minkah Fitzpatrick is the best of the best that you could hope for. I mean, he's a stud. And before him was Marshon Lattimore. Defensive Rookie of the Year at pick 11. 99 starts. 6,500 plus snaps. Defensive Rookie of the Year. 4 Pro Bowls. Yes. So if I'm looking at this list, well, this is just the recent. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 players. The last 8 years, number 11 picks overall. Lattimore, yes. I'd be happy with that. Fitzpatrick, 100% yes. Happy with that. Olave, yes. 100% happy with that. Now, there's a couple guys that are borderline. I'd put Skoronski and Fashanu. They're borderline. The other ones, no. So, 3 yeses, 2 borderlines, 3 no's. Jonah Williams, no. Mekhi Becton, no. Justin Fields, no. Skoronski, yeah, maybe. Fashanu, all right. And then hell yeses go to Olave, Fitzpatrick, and Lattimore. Obviously, Minkah Fitzpatrick is the best of the bunch. So those are the last 8. Now, I didn't stop there. So let's go to this, and then we'll jump off topic. And I've got a bunch of other stuff I want to talk about today, too. Some of the best over number 11 picks ever. And it is a great list. J.J. Watt, not in the Hall of Fame, will be. He'll be first ballot Hall of Famer, which I wouldn't mind talking about the Hall of Fame here in a second. I want to talk about that in a second. Michael Irvin, Hall of Famer. Paul Warfield, we're going way back now, Hall of Famer. Doug Atkins, Hall of Famer, number 11 overall. Frank Gifford, Hall of Famer. Dwight Freeney, whoo, now we cooking, Hall of Famer. DeMarcus Ware, out of Troy, I remember that. Hall of Famer, great player, golly. And I would argue, I'm going to be a little biased here, I think the best number 11 overall pick in the history of the NFL, none other than Patrick Willis, baby. Hall of Famer. We got him number 11. We got him and Joe Staley in the same draft. Awesome. So, yeah, recency bias, it's mixed. That's what the draft is. Doesn't matter if you're picking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 11, 31. Doesn't matter. The draft is the crapshoot. And if you just look at the recent 8 years, 3 hits, 3 misses, 2 wait and sees. But you can sit here and you can look 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 Hall of Famers have been picked at 11. 9. Maybe you get that guy. Why not? 49ers have done it before. And it's funny because I keep seeing people say, oh, we're bad with the first round picks and all that stuff. Man, we're not as bad as other teams are. Are we the best? No. Not since Shanahan's been here? No. But it's not like we've been bad. Ayuk was a hit. Bosa was a hit. Kinlaw? Nah. McGlinchey? I don't want to tell people this, and we could argue about this. Was McGlinchey worth the number 9 overall pick? You look at that draft sucked. If you were going offensive tackle, you kind of got the best one. You kind of got the best one. Yeah, you can talk about the Raiders guy, but he was terrible for 3 years. Mike McGlinchey's still one of the top paid right tackles in the NFL. Like, you can't say that's a bust. I don't like McGlinchey. I'm glad he's gone. Colton McKivitz is just as good, but not as good at run blocking. And Vader, right here, best player available. Was McGlinchey that? No. But if you had to go tackle, which I don't think that they did, but man, you look at here, I'm pulling up the draft now, 2018 draft. We took him number 9 overall. Let's see here. Mike McGlinchey has a 41 grade approximated value, which he still should have been a first-round pick, according to Pro Football Reference, which their weighted career approximated value, he's got a 41. He still should have been a first-round pick. Probably should have went in the 20s. Should he have been top 10? No. I don't believe that. But if you're going offensive tackle, nobody in this tackle class was really better than he was. Nobody was. Let's see here. Colton Miller, they're tied. They have the same approximated value. Colton Miller's got a 42. Mike McGlinchey got a 41. Like those two guys. Isaiah Wynn, nope. Oh, Brian O'Neill. Yeah, Brian O'Neill. He went in the second round at the end of the second round. Minnesota, he's better. Orlando Brown went in the third round. He's better. And again, I'm not here to make the claim of Mike McGlinchey was worth it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't consider that a bust. This dude's one of the top paid offensive linemen in the NFL. Was he worth the pick? Nah. Would you have liked to gone elsewhere? Sure. Minkah Fitzpatrick was there at 11. Vita Vea didn't fit our scheme, but he was there. Daron Payne's better. Who else was better? Derwin James better. Jair Brown better. Frank Ragnow, center, better. But there were also a lot of misses. Josh Rosen went right after him. Marcus Davenport can't stay healthy. Billy Price, I actually like Billy Price in the second round. Center, he's been bad. Rashad Evans, bad. Isaiah Wynn, bad. Hayden Hurst, ooh, yeah, that was a terrible pick. Like, Rashad Penny, like, there were a lot worse picks than McGlinchey is all I'm saying. I'm not trying to be a homer. I always want to push back because people always come out and say, man, that player was a bust. I don't consider Javon Kinlaw a bust. Did he get you value? No, he didn't. He did not. But you traded back. And shoot, I'm going to say Javon Kinlaw might have been the best defensive player we had for that 2023 playoff run. We made it to the Super Bowl. And large part about Javon, he was awesome. It was his best play in the playoffs. He got paid. And he's going to be on his third contract soon. Like, he still, was it a home run pick? Should you took Isaiah Wirfs? Yes, you should have. But I just want to push back a little bit on this idea of busts. If people don't think, like, if you sign a second, third contract in the NFL, I don't consider you a bust. Now, Solomon Thomas, it's a little bit different when you're the number three overall pick versus the number 15th pick or the number nine pick. That's all. And I know it's easy just to say that player sucks and he's the worst and he's a bust and all that stuff. I kind of push back. Yeah, Solomon Thomas still playing. I do consider him a bust at three. If Solomon Thomas would have the same career he had at 15. Here, I want to go back and look at this. Okay, Solomon Thomas was not a good, but he's got a 21 wave value. Again, we just talked about McGlinchey at 42. He's got half of that. Yeah, that's a bust, man. 21, golly. So if you know everything you know about Solomon Thomas now, he should have been picked. He has the same approximated value as Akello Witherspoon. You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah, Solomon Thomas was a bust. Solomon Thomas was a bust. Tariq Cohen, 21. Cameron Sutton, 21. Tyus Bowser, 21. Jake Elliott, the kicker, has, like, that's why I consider Solomon Thomas a bust. You got half the value at pick three as you did at pick nine, and people complain about pick nine. I want to go look at the 2020 draft. Let's see here. Javon Kinlaw, 22. That's his wave value. The same as Solomon Thomas, and he's played half of his career. Like, if you look at Solomon Thomas and his 22 approximated value, he should have been a second-round pick. He should have been a middle second-round pick, late second-round pick. I don't know if that's a bust. I don't know if that is. Tristan Wirfs has a 58. He's the fourth highest rated player. The only players with more approximated value than Tristan Wirfs are all quarterbacks. Burrow, Herbert, and Hurts. Yeah. You missed. And 100%. Mike, look at this. If they could have done Kezar, That would have been the best stadium in the country. Yeah, that location. That's the thing. Being in the Bay Area, you could have the best. Think about the Giants stadium, right? You could have the best stadium in football. You could have had the best stadium in the country. Anyway, I don't want to talk negative on that. That was just stupid. Yeah, right here in Vader. I remember how mad Gruden got losing the coin flip. He wanted McGlinchey. He wanted the tackle. And, yeah, that's what he wanted. We won the coin flip. We got McGlinchey. He had to trade back, and he was pissed. He was pissed. Right here, Rachel. Was it worth the trap? Dude, I will say that. I go to every state. I've been to 22 NFL stadiums currently. It is harder to get out of Levi's than any stadium. Maybe Buffalo and the Blizzard. That was pretty rough. That was rough. But, like, it's hard. There's no way to get out. You park at that blue lot, red lot, you in trouble. And I like to party, too. So, like, I'm going to party after the game. I ain't going to jump in the car and try to beat everyone. That's not my style. But I would argue, man, maybe I should do a stadium rankings. That'd be a fun show. Buffalo in the Blizzard, that was – we sat there forever. But Levi's, man, that getting to the stadium's easy. I always get there early, though. I'm always waiting for the lots to open. Getting out of that stadium – Levi's getting out of stadiums as bad as it gets in the NFL, in my opinion. That's just me. I don't know. I'm curious what other people think about that one. What's up, Rick? Appreciate you. Yeah, right here, David. I wanted Derwin James so bad. Yeah. Everybody wanted Derwin. He was just a cheat code. Gosh, he's so good. He's so good. Dr. Steve Rule, which offensive tackle is still with their original team? That was the better player. Miller wins. Not by... Yeah, I agree. Knowing what we know now, Colton Miller's a better left tackle, and he's still left tackle. Yes, I do agree with that. Through their rookie deals, man, they were talking about benching Colton Miller his third season, his sophomore season. Like, that dude was really, really bad. They stayed with him because they were a terrible franchise. They weren't competitive at all. But, yeah, you are correct. It took a while, and that's another thing. If we just graded after their rookie deal, I would say probably – 28 out of 32 teams would say McGlinchey would have had the better rookie deal. That changed after that. And McGlinchey, his best year was his first year. He has not improved at all. He's gotten worse. He's gotten worse. Right here, Steve-O, get rid of the combine. Go off film. I think the draft would hit better. Yeah, I love the combine. I just love it because I love it. Whenever I was a player, like testing week, oh, I freaking love it. I was a power lifter, so like that was a big deal to me. My son, you know, we go to the gym, you know, 4 to 5 times a week right now. He wants to test out. He wants to go through his maxes next week, so we got that coming up. I just love the idea of I am faster and I am stronger. I want to see my progress. Now, do teams put too much into the combine? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, 100% they do. Are the 49ers one of those teams? We're not a threshold team. And I use that term a lot. What a threshold team is, you got to think about Trent Baalke. You got to think about the Colts. We want players with this much arm length, right? Think about the Alden Smith pick, which was a home run. That's the good size. Now look at Trayvon Walker for going first overall. That was a bad one, right? All of our offensive tackles have to have this arm length. We want corners that are at least 6 foot, 200. We want corners that run at least a 4.58 40. We want wide receivers with this big of hands. Those are threshold teams. They build their board and they cross off. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have this. How many teams would allow Colton McKivitz to play tackle for them with sub 34 inch arms? Maybe 12 to 14. 49ers don't give a damn. They'll draft players regardless of arm length. And whenever you ask John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, is this a tackle or a guard or a center? Let's say, yeah, we think he has the feet to play tackle. Like, there's different philosophies. And I kind of like that because that's why the board is always just a mess. So, you know, and again, my process, not saying this is the 49ers, but my process, we're building our big board currently. We're building out our rankings currently. When the combine comes, you don't move players up based on their 40-yard dash or whatever else. But what you do is if you have a player that I'll have a thing, top-end speed is a concern. If I'm doing corners, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, safeties, linebackers, top-end speed matters. It matters to me for all those positions. Speed matters for everything, but it matters more for those. So if I'm watching a corner and he gets stacked consistently by wide receivers deep, man, top end speed's a concern. Then whenever the combine happens, I want to know what that 40-yard dash is. And then that's going to validate, okay, this guy just doesn't have the speed, or he has the speed, his technique's too poor. You see what I'm saying? So that's going to validate or cause me to go back and look and say, well, this corner gets stacked a little too much for my liking deep in our cover three scheme and our man single high safety scheme that we do now. That you got to check that box. That's Charvarius Ward. Charvarius Ward's a great freaking cornerback. But man, you put him against a speedy wide receiver, he's been this way his whole career. That's why he was an undrafted free agent. Don't put Charvarius Ward against speedy little guys without safety help. That's not his MO. He's physical. He's tough as hell. And he's going to help in the run game. But some guys, you got to know what they can and can't do. Nick Sorensen had no clue. He was lost. So, yes, the combine matters, and it validates a lot of your ideas that you have on tape. But the 49ers do not just get rid of players based off combine performance. They get rid of players based on character, based on injuries, and based on lack of experience. Those are the three things that they will knock you off their board. You look at the last three drafts they've done. They do not draft guys in the first and second days, first, second, third rounds, if you have character concerns, injury concerns, or lack of experience. They just don't do it. They don't do it. Now, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round, that changes a little bit. There's anomalies out there. But, you know, Cameron Latu is probably the one exception just because he didn't play a lot. But again, Kyle Shanahan said after that pick was a compensation pick at the end of the third round, we consider this to be a fourth round pick. Take that for what you will. So I like the combine more than most. Should we get rid of it? The best thing about the combine has no bearing on us. It's the medical checks and the interviews. We don't get access to those. I really wish we could. I really, really, really wish that we could get access to that. I would like that so much, man, because that's where you get to know these players. And again, what do the 49ers look for? Does this guy love football? They say that all the time. Is this a guy that loves football, or is he here to get paid? If it's a guy that loves football and wants to get paid, you take that. If a guy has character concerns during those interviews, that's where you try to wrestle and grapple with the idea, is this somebody we could trust and pay money that won't hurt us off the field? Reuben Foster. Niners don't go after those guys. Medical checks. ACLs. ACLs aren't what they used to be. Trent Baalke's smiling somewhere. A guy like Josh Simmons, who's a possibility at 11. We're going to talk about that in a second. Is the ACL good now? Can he go back out? Can he play? Can they not? Niners stayed away from guys like that. They really have, especially in the first and second days. They have. Now, Super Bowl's this weekend. I hate it. I think I'm rooting for Vic Fangio. I'm trying to find a way that I could enjoy the Super Bowl. Vic Fangio's one of us. He's one of us. but if you are going to bet anything for the Super Bowl or draft or wherever, man, this is where you got to go. The wild ride on the road to New Orleans is almost over. The big game is just around the corner. So for fans looking to cash in on the Super Bowl, MyBookie is where it's at. They've packed in promotions, props, and features that make betting on this event not just exciting, but seriously profitable. You can bet on props. Listen to these. How long will the national anthem last? Will somebody trip during the halftime performance? You can even talk about, man, are there going to be a taunting penalty called? Will the president tweet during the game? Which commercials will appear first, Budweiser or Coca-Cola? You want to go cars, Toyota or Jeep commercial first? Netflix or Amazon have a commercial first? All the way down to, what color will the Gatorade shower be? And if you like squares, guess what? Make every quarter count. You can play for as little as $1.25 and win big with prize pools up to $10,000. So, with everything from the Super Bowl props to live betting, MyBookie is the ultimate destination. Use promo code 49ers, 49ERS, or scan the promo code next to me. It's going to take care of you, and you're going to get a boosted bonus when you make your first deposit. So if you're betting anywhere, make sure to bet with MyBookie on the big game. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. All right, we got some fun comments here. Bobo, I think Javon Kinlaw was a huge disappointment. I think that's the right way to phrase it, right? Everybody wants to say like bust or whatever else. When Kinlaw was healthy, which was never, really 2 points in his career, the start of it and then the end of it, he was very good. The problem was it was always, man, I think he's back, he's not. I think he's back, he's not. I think he's back, he's not. But man, yeah, I think that's the right phrasing. I love that, Bobo. A-plus as always, my friend. Invader, I'd rather have Puna Ford than Kinlaw. Yes. Yes, I think Puna Ford's going to cost more. Hook him, baby. But this is a guy who's had a stellar career as an undrafted free agent that's just the best run stuffer, one of the best run stuffers in the NFL. And now he's adding a little bit of pass rush to him. Compared to Kinlaw, who's a first-round pick, he's got the body, all those things. But yeah, I'd take Puna Ford in a heartbeat over Javon Kinlaw. I would be fine with Kinlaw coming back. I think Kinlaw's awesome. I really do. I just, again, you manage expectations. Kinlaw should be a rotational piece. And, man, if we had Kinlaw last year, he would have been our best defensive tackle. I'd prefer Kinlaw over Malik Collins, but it's close. It's close. Malik Collins healthier, plays more, eats more snaps. But I would argue Kinlaw, if he's healthy, man, that's been the problem, right? I would say he would have been our best defensive tackle last year. Would have been number one. And Dan, I appreciate you, man. He said, yes, rate the stadium. I know if I rate the NFL stadium's experiences, that'd be fun. I've got 22. Maybe I should wait till I get to 32, but that does sound fun to me. I don't think we'll get a lot of people watching that show, but I don't really care. Sometimes I do shows for me. And for my man, people like Mab over here, I appreciate you, buddy. Let's see here. I'm way behind on the chat, man. I'm gonna miss it. What's up, Salty? My man, appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you. So here we go. Let's talk about. Oh, somebody got changed. I'm gonna block somebody in that Lakers AVI. I can't handle it. I'm being triggered over here. love you guys, man. You gotta change that picture. You gotta change that name. I'll never put one of your comments on my show ever. I'm still pissed about Luka being traded. Anyway, shout out to SF Data Niners. Awesome new Twitter account. They put together a mock draft consensus at pick 11 for the 49ers. It's 77 mocks that they put into their, you know, graphic over the past 2 weeks. You know, whatever. I don't know the whatever for these 77 mocks, if it's them, if it's computer, I don't know. But I do think that this is a pretty cool sample size. And again, if you're listening to this and not watching, I'll break this down for you. But basically made a, what's it called? Just a bar graph of the amount of players in the percentage points that they have been mocked to the 49ers. And man, I really think that they did a good job here. I really do. Now, I disagree with a lot of stuff that's on there, and I'm going to read through it. So the bottom is 1.3%, which means that they were basically drafted 1 to 2 times to the 49ers. These players are Tyler Warren, 1.3%, Siobhan Revelle, the corner out of East Carolina, 1.3%, Tet McMillan, 1.3%, Tyler Booker, 1.3%, Jihad Campbell, 1.3%, Kenneth Grant, 1.3%, Ashton Jeanty, 1.3%, and Donovan Jackson, offensive tackle, offensive guard for Ohio State, 1.3%. So all those players kind of have the same. Of those guys, if I had to have one of them, I'd probably go Kenneth Grant, but the Niners don't usually draft guys like that. Right here, you can take both Campbells off the board. Talking about Jihad Campbell and I wonder why that is, Steve-O. I don't think either one of them are very good fits for the 49ers. But let's keep working our way up. You had two players with 2.6%. Nick Scorton, who I think is a very real possibility. I hate Texas A&M, but he's a good player. Defensive end. I have a video breakdown up of him on the 49ersrush.com if you want to go watch him and our Patreon, which also this morning, I got up early on a Friday, broke down some, Walter Nolan. Did just a Walter Nolan tape, which was hard because there's so many draft eligible guys on that defense. I feel like Walter Nolan's probably the odds-on favorite to be the pick at 11 right now. So if you want to go see the all 22 broken down, head over to the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon page. Descriptions in the links in the description of this video or audio podcast. Go check that out. So let's see here. Also, Benjamin Morrison, who fun corner out of, you know, Notre Dame. But, man, I was doing a lot of work on him yesterday. Injury concerns. He had a hip injury in 2024, missed a lot of the season, and then had to have surgery on it. Again, that combine is going to be big for Benjamin Morrison. But, again, my three criteria, character, not going to be picked early. Lack of experience, not going to be picked early. Injuries, not going to be picked early. That's why I'm removing Benjamin Morrison as a possibility in that first round. I don't see it. The injury alone, I just, since Kinlaw, they're not messing with that. And a corner with a hip, that's not like an AC. I don't know. I hope Benjamin Morrison's awesome. I ain't got nothing against him. I ain't got nothing against him. Now there's three players with 3.9%. James Pierce Jr., edge Tennessee. Mason Graham, defensive tackle Michigan. Jaylon Walker, Georgia. Mason's going top five. Yeah, I would love Mason. Mason Graham, but he's gone. James Pierce Jr., he falls into the category of no experience. I think he's a damn good edge. I think he's the best first step outside of probably Abdul Carter. James Pierce Jr. fits what we need. No snaps. He's got nothing. You look at where does he fit? James Pierce Jr., he's a 4 on the experience scale. Only 900 snaps as a D lineman, under 1,000. That's rough. He does have 2 years of production, so that's huge. So even though I say the lack of experience, James Pierce might be past just barely clearing the hurdle of experience. But yeah, he's underrated. He's a beast. Dude's just got sack potential for days. He's a stud. The film is great. The film is elite. I don't know if he clears there. Jaylon Walker, I keep going back. And the more and more I think about Jaylon Walker right here, David. Yeah, John, I like your thoughts on drafted. Jaylon Walker continues to be a guy that just the more I think about it, I don't even think he's going to be there at 11. I think he'll be gone. But yeah, I like him. Now, again, not a lot of experience. Not a lot. He's got the same amount of snaps as James Pierce. So if I want to write off James Pierce, Jaylon Walker, I got to do the same thing. They've got about the exact same amount of snaps. Man, the ceiling on Jaylon Walker, that dude can't miss. And here's what I mean by that. If he can't play edge, which I think he can, that dude plays everywhere. 7 sacks last year. He didn't even light up there that much. He lined up more as a box off-ball linebacker, still got 7 sacks. But if he ain't going to play edge, you can play linebacker, and you've got a beast linebacker. He can cover, tackle, he can blitz, he can do it all. I like Jaylon Walker. I really, really like Jaylon Walker, man. I would be very happy with him. But anyway, I got to be consistent. I got to hold myself accountable there. If I'm going to knock James Pierce for lack of snaps, I have to do the same Jaylon Walker. I have to. You got to be consistent. And so that's where it is. Let's get to some of these right here. Logan, at the very least, as an edge, James Pierce is underrated. Yeah, James Pierce isn't the run defender we want at 11, says Allen. That is true. He's that speed guy. Right here, Invader, is Walker able to play will linebacker, or is he just a situational passer? I think he can play will linebacker. The tape says he can. I think he could do everything. I like him more than I should. I'm already, like, fangirling over Jaylon Walker. I just think he's so damn good. Kawachipto, Walker to play rushdowns. Yeah, we prefer big defensive ends. I get that. Walker reminds me of a better Nolan Smith from Philly. That's a fair assessment. Way more production than Nolan Smith had. But Nolan Smith translated. He translated. All right, the next round, 5.2%. We got three players: Will Campbell, Walter Nolan, Shamar Stewart. Man, Shamar Stewart kind of fits what the Niners want at that end position. 6'5", 280. Big. I mean, he's just huge. The thing that I want to tell you is don't go watch the Missouri tape. We've got film. Armon Mimbu against Shamar Stewart. Don't watch that. Armon Mimbu completely ruined Shamar Stewart for me. He pancaked that dude, folded him into a luggage, and shipped his ass back to College Station. Like, if you want to like Shamar Stewart, don't watch Missouri tape. That dude got owned. Now, Senior Bowl, Shamar Stewart balled out. Power, size, versatility, elite traits. He's got everything. 1,200-plus snaps. I mean, he's got one-third more snaps than James Pierce and Jalon Walker. Like, no sack production. Never had more than two sacks in a season. You're drafted the traits. You're drafted the size. You're drafted the run. His nickname's the Menace. I like Shamar Stewart. I don't like him at 11. And again, I've got it up on the Patreon. Go check it out. Go watch that Missouri versus A&M tape. You're going to walk away loving Armon Mimbu, loving Nick Squarton, and just be like, Shamar Stewart, maybe second round. So, you know, that's where Shamar is. Walter Nolan, if I was GM, I'd have a hard time. I'd try to trade back from 11. Walter Nolan should be the pick. He's that good. Great versus the run. Consistent sack production. Is he perfect? No. He gets upfield too much, and he takes the cheese too much. Counter plays, misdirection plays, he struggles. But you want to stop outside zone? Amazing. You want to stop the run? He's great versus the double team. He's good versus double team. Not great. I need to rephrase that. He got blown off the ball a couple times. But my favorite thing about Walter Nolan is the passion that he plays with. He'll lose a rep and still make a play all the time. Like, he'll get reached and still have the athleticism, power, talent to go make a play opposite field. He'll chase down plays, could get to the quarterback early or late. Yeah, I said this in my breakdown I did this morning. You know, you've got guys. Who was the defensive end? The Chris Kucerik special. Kerry Hyder Jr., right? Literally made a career in winning on second, third effort. Like, Walter Nolan has that in spades, but he can win early too. Like, I freaking love Walter Nolan. I love Walter Nolan. He would be if I had to bet right now who the Niners take in the first round, I'm betting Walter Nolan. I like him. I really, really do. Plus, he was the number one overall player coming out of high school. So, like, ESPN and 24/7 and all rivals, he was number one or two. The only player that was ranked higher than him was Travis Hunter, and that wasn't even in all of them. The talent is off of the charts. No bad weight on him. I love Walter Nolan. I really, really do. And then Will Campbell, shoot, man. Stud run game, guaranteed guard, can play tackle in our scheme. I do believe that. I think he play left tackle. They play right tackle. Will Campbell, perfect mentality, right? You remember me talking about how the 49ers meetings at the combine, they're trying to determine if a player loves football. Will Campbell, you ain't got to determine that. You watch any interview, highlight, film tape, dude loves football. Eats, breathes football. You ain't got to worry about that. Metrics, check. Production, check. Playtime, check. Scheme fit, check. All across, like, he's just too clean. I don't think he's going to be there at 11. But if he was, oh, man, I love it. Let's get to some comments about these players. Kawachipto, don't watch Stewart's tape. If you are a person, I'm with you here, that's you draft off of film, Shamar Stewart ain't your guy. He is a projection. Not a bad thing. Somebody's going to love him. You watch Senior Bowl. Niners love Senior Bowl. Dude, the Menace. He's a stud. He's a stud right here at Vader. Yeah, Stewart, to me, is your classic Trent Baalke pick. I agree 1,000%. 1,000%. Logan Stewart's tape, honestly, humbling. He's a Baalke pick. We all agree. We all agree. Right here, Niner. He says, If Kyle spots this, so McMillan is an option, the pick is in. Yeah, Tate McMillan's a fun player. We haven't talked about him very much. I like him. I don't like him as much as others. Yeah, 6'5", 210. We'll see what he weighs and all that stuff. Athleticism, highlights, length, best hands in the draft. True X wideout that is smooth. You just paid an X wideout $30 million a year. $30 million a year. What, you don't draft another. If you drafted Tet McMillan, you put him in that freaking Juwan Jennings role. That's such a waste. It was, but Shanahan will do it. Shanahan, elite catch radius, physicality. But, dude, he's just an X. He is the truest X maybe in the past few drafts. Dude, don't draft him. Don't draft him. Don't draft him. right here. I don't know if McMillan is anything more than a possession wide receiver. I don't think he's going to test well speed-wise, but he doesn't win with speed. He wins with size and hands. Like, dude's got Velcro hands. Right here, NY Niners. Shamar Stewart gives me Cleveland Farrell vibes. Dude. Yeah, Cleveland Farrell's damn good pro. Should he have been number 4 overall pick? Hell no. Should he have been the number 11 pick? No. Very similar to McGlinchey. Should have been a second round pick. If Cleveland Farrell was a second round pick, everybody would love him. Picked him top 10. It's too much. It's too much. Couchip. McMillan might be a faster Mike Evans. Dude catches everything. That's a good comp. I don't think he's as fast as Evans. Evans is fast, but he's got the size. He's not even as big as Mike Evans. I don't think he's as big or as fast, but he's got the hands. I think he runs better routes than Mike Evans. Coming out, right, of A&M. Coming out. That's what it is. Let's see here. Scrolling down. Love these. Cowachipto. Kobe Bryant in the 4th. Man, he's so light. Niners don't usually go after those 170-pound corners. And that was an official weigh-in. Like, he looked tiny at Senior Bowl. Yeah, he's scrappy. But since Akello, we ain't touched a guy like that. 4th round, I love his tape. I love Kobe Bryant. Corner out of Kansas State. I love it. Great one. Nolan is great in the run defense. He's amazing, dude. He's amazing. I really like him. Nolan and Umon Mielen. Yeah, you got some character stuff with Umon Mielen. If he falls, yes, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Right here, who would you bet on for the 49ers to draft once you're all the way done with this graph? I'm going to star that, Eric. I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to tell you the answer now. Walter Nolan would be my pick. Who I think they'll pick, Walter Nolan would be the pick. If every one of the players on this graph was available, Mason Graham would be my pick. But I think defensive tackle is red alert. Red alert. Dr. Steve says, Nolan told people he's the next Aaron Donald. Then he produced to be just a guy during the Senior Bowl. I disagree with that. He tapped out of the Senior Bowl early every single day. His draft status is solidified. You've seen guys start to do this where they show up for the measurements, do some one-on-ones, then they walk. I don't think Nolan's just a guy. I really, really don't. The tape doesn't. I mean, that dude produced in the SEC for 2 different teams and 2 different schemes. Several, like, nah. Yeah, he didn't have to. He was one of the highest guys there. I don't think that he had to do much. I really, really don't. I didn't think they did. Williams is just Drake Jackson 2.0. Better talent, no production. Ooh, man, that's a whole thing. Let's see here. Noah Williams. I will never pass up a Noah Williams comment. I love Noah Williams late. Love Noah Williams late. Mike Evans ran a 4.55. McMillan is a 4.3. Yeah, I could be way wrong on that. I just don't see Tet Willen winning with speed all the time. He's got it. I wish he would play in the SEC. That's okay. All right, we got through our comments. Let's get back to our chart. Ooh, I love this. All right. The player that stands alone by himself, 6.5%, Mikel Williams, edge, defensive end, Georgia. I know I'm on an island on this one. I love Mikel Williams. Played through an injury all year, an ankle issue. Just never was right. But he's got so much quality tape consistently. Does everything. Perfect build. Every team's going to want Mikel Williams. Every single team's going to want him. The guys that have come out of that defensive system at that position have all excelled. All of them have. and he might be better than all of them. I know some people are like boom bust pick and whatever else. Man, Mikal Williams, guys. I'm sorry. I love Mikal Williams. He's just too damn good. I just can't see him missing. I can't see it. I know I'm by myself, and that's okay. Disagreements are a good thing. Don't have to agree with me on everything. Just most things. You'd be like my wife. Disagree with me on everything. That's okay. I still love you. I still love you. Armon Membu, 9.1%. Yeah, he's worth it. You want to know what player that I think might help the 49ers the most year one? Might be Armon Membu. You plug that dude in at right tackle right now. Whew. Solid. You watch Armon Membu versus whomever out there. Now, again, you were worried about his arm length. Well, he came in with an official 34-inch arms flat at the Senior Bowl. Threshold teams are cool with him now at tackle. His best footwork in the draft at the offensive tackle position. Again, I think you should trade back if you're going to get him. But, man, if you could just plug him in at right tackle right now, oh, my gosh, I'd be so happy. Oh, I'd be so happy. Right here, two players at 11.7. I don't think either one of them even have a chance to be on the Niners board. Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State, and Will Johnson, cornerback, Michigan. I don't think either one of them are on the board. I really, really don't. One, let's start with Josh Simmons. Had an ACL. I mean, Josh Simmons is a beast, okay? I broke down his tape. I think he's the most pro-ready tackle, but he's coming off an ACL. He's got 1,900-plus snaps. That's not bad, but it's not a lot. He's a 4 out of 10 on the experience scale for offensive tackles. He's on the low end. He's on the James Pierce side. He's on the Jalen Walker side. Add to that an injury. Oh, but, man, his tape just screams Christian Darrisaw to me, and I love Christian Darrisaw. Physicality, footwork, versatility, best kick slide and pass pro in the draft. He's just clean, man. Left tackle, ain't got no concerns, but it all depends on that medical check at the combine. Again, Niners haven't touched guys like this. They haven't touched them. Have not touched them. Will Johnson, who everybody loves. I love him too. Out of Michigan. 6'2", 200 pounds, beast. 1,300-plus snaps. That is a 2 out of 10 for corners. Corners play a lot more ball than D linemen do. It's 2 out of 10. Plus injury concerns. Plus injury concerns. And you're talking about not even just a knee. Listen to this. Missed time with the shoulder, turf toe, had a knee procedure last year. You're talking 3 injuries in 3 years that he all missed time for, had surgeries for. Turf toe was lingering all season. Is he a baller? Yeah. Best man cover corner in the draft. Pick 6 waiting to happen. Will Johnson is a stud. Is a stud. One, I'm not even sure he's going to be there at 11. I like Jahdae Barron better because he's cleaner. But why would the Niners do this? Not one, not two, but 3 lingering issues? And it's corner. Thank you, Invader. A bad will on a corner is no bueno. Turf toes, they stick around. Knee procedure. Ugh. It's going to matter at the combine how the health checks out. That's all I'm saying. So you're telling me you've got 3 injuries. You're telling me you're a 2 out of 10 on the experience scale. Now, leadership character off the charts, prototypical build, ball production, tape is A+. I don't know, man. I just don't see the Niners doing this. They've never drafted a corner higher than the end of the second round, and now you paid a corner. So you paid Debo, top-tier corner money, $18 million a year. You've got a rookie that you love. Now you're going to go spend a first-round pick on your number 3 guy with health concerns and experience concerns? Make it make sense. Not saying they won't do it. I just can't connect those dots. I may not be a smart man, Jenna. but I know what injuries are, and he's got them. I hope he's a baller, and I think he will be. But man, I don't know. I want to ask you guys, am I crazy on Will Johnson and Josh Simmons? Like, do you guys honestly, and girls, sorry, I know I use guys all inclusive. I apologize. It's a problem. I don't know. Am I by myself? Am I on an island? I don't think these guys, Josh Simmons a little bit more. I don't think the Niners, Will Johnson's even out there. I don't think he's a possibility. You got Demo, you got Renardo. Why would you spend a top 11 pick on a corner? Why? Why one with injuries? Why one without experience? Yeah, patella, ACL, no thank you. David says, I love Simmons. I do too. Invader, yeah, Simmons is best OT in the draft, but the injury removes him from the board. Let's see here. Wouldn't waste the 11 pick on any of the corners this year. I agree. I don't think any of them beat Green. I agree. I do love Barron. I'm with you there. Stud with an injury bug. Simmons teammate Donovan Jackson in round 2. I would love that. Donovan Jackson helped his draft stock out so much. Simmons tore his ACL. Donovan Jackson gets from guard to tackle and just balls out all throughout. 7 straight starts in the playoffs. Stud. Stud. Logan says, Will Johnson hasn't played enough for me. 49er faithful. How is Will Johnson drafted so much? Is Wayne altered the stats? Kidding, Wayne. I love Wayne too. Ask Dion about turf toe. Yeah. If it's just turf toe and he's cleared and played past it, that'd be an issue. He hasn't. It was a nagging injury all year for him. The knee. Ugh. Invader, they just don't view corners worth the first round picks, probably because it's a hard position to transition to the NFL. They value D-line. I agree on Johnson more than Simmons. Good, good, good. I like that. You guys keeping me in check. I love it. Logan, I don't think Simmons is an option for the Niners after the injury. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it. You guys are great. I'd rather go Barron if they went cornerback. He could be a free safety. Yeah, Barron could play everything. He could play everything. Starks not on the list. All right. So those are those guys, which leaves us with the number one, Hook'em Horns, 18.2% of mock drafts, Kelvin Banks Jr. You guys know me. I love me some Kelvin Banks Jr. He's my number one tackle. I think he has the highest ceiling of any of the tackles. Is he as pro ready as Josh Simmons? No. Does he have the character mindset of Will Campbell? I don't know. I don't know. I've never met with Kelvin Banks, but I've watched him play at high school. I've watched him play 40 plus starts at left tackle. Dude did it in the Big 12, did it in the SEC. Athleticism, consistency, and upside. Golly, there are plays where you watch Kelvin Banks. We got it up on Patreon. Go watch it. The49ersRush.com. Go subscribe. 7-day free trial right now. Go check it out. Support the show. That's how I feed my family. You watch Kelvin Banks and you're just like, ooh, that's an all-pro left tackle at the NFL level. You see it. You don't have to use your imagination. Is the consistency there on those elite plays? It is not. Perfect outside zone fit scheme. A little bit too many penalties. Like, he still has shaping to do. There's no doubt about that. But man, it is easy to see that this guy could just be so freaking good, man. Anchor flexibility, it's there. Run blocking solid. Gets to the second level so well. Moves so well in space. Gets movement. You watch him against Mason Graham, who moves all over the line in that Michigan game. Whenever Kelvin Banks blocks Mason Graham in the run game, Kelvin Banks won every single rep. Won a lot. It's probably like 5 or 6. Won every single rep. Mason Graham moved when Kelvin Banks said move. Like, it is there. Like, you can see it. Run game, great. Pass blocking, great. Experience, great. Versatility, great. Is he going to be Trent Williams? No. But you see flashes. If everybody reached their potential, Kelvin Banks is the best tackle in this draft. Now, potential just means you ain't done it there yet. But, man, I like him. The athleticism's there. The footwork's there. Consistency needs work. You got to know if he loves it or not. I don't know what that looks like. He didn't have to come back to the playoffs. He had rolled his ankle, got stepped on, missed a game, but almost went. Like, he was a game-time decision, went out there, just wasn't right, missed that one. Niners won anyway. Goes back out and plays, and they lose to Ohio State. Ugh. Right here, Monkey Boy. A little too many penalties, he fit right in. Yeah, yeah, that's there. Logan, and I know people disagree with me. I know smart people disagree with me. That's a great thing. Logan, sorry, Chapman, I don't think Bates gets to 11. I think he's gone to. Every team's going to want him. Every team's going to want him. Connerly has the highest ceiling. Banks is a guard, in my opinion. That's crazy talk, man. Connerly is high, but, man, that dude, you watch his tape, and it's just like, what are you doing? Athleticism's there. But, I mean, you see, I see Connerly get posterized too many times. But he gets the job done. He'll fall down a lot. He'll get trucked. You saw it, Mike Green in the Senior Bowl. But that's okay. Cal Chipto, I trust your opinion, and I think you know what you're talking about. I disagree, but that's okay. Yeah, right here. No one should be comparing offensive tackles to Williams. He's 1-on-1. I agree. That's the thing. I want to see how Kelvin Banks measures. 6'4", 336. Oh. 6'4", 336. That's pretty dang solid, man. Guess what Trent Williams is? 6'5", 320. The athleticism of Trent Williams is unparalleled. I get that. But he's bigger. He's bigger. And he moves smooth. Ah, we'll see. Invader, I don't see the feet or the hips to play for left tackle for us. Dude, we run the same scheme. He did it in the SEC. I don't know. We'll see how he tests. I want to see how he moves out there at the combine. But tape says he can do it. And that's okay. I got more tape to do, no doubt about it. And he struggled against Georgia. Mikael Williams struggled against him. I didn't like that. I didn't like that. But this has been a fun show. And, you know, we go back to the history of the 11th pick, kind of the whole thing. It's been a little spotty of late, but, man, 9 Hall of Famers, a couple more 2B Hall of Famers, and Minkah Fitzpatrick and J.J. Watt. I think those guys get in. I'm cool if we stay at 11. I still firmly, if you get Mason Williams, Mason Graham, trade up. If not, I prefer a trade down no matter who's there. There's just so many guys that are available. Invader says, I'll defer to Chapman on the evaluation. I'm just a draft. Man, we the same. You probably watch as much tape as I do. But I appreciate you, Invader. I appreciate all you guys. And I love disagreements. But you know what else I love? The vibes of this freaking offseason. Just keep trending right. Just keep trending right. I love the addition of Gus Bradley. And I love this show. This was fun. Thank you, guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it, too. And if you haven't checked it out yet, go to the 40ironsrush.com. Support the show if you like the show. Even if you can't watch the videos and you ain't got time, that's okay. Just say, hey, I want to support Chapman. I want to support what he does and the team does. Head over there. You guys are the best. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly.